Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta f*** the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is sort of like a fractured fairy tale. Only not really. Kind of. But not totally. Sort of. Not for long. This is Wretched Radio. Would like to share with you now the story of the life of Riley. Who is Riley? He is a young man who is spending time away from his family. Who is his family? Well, his adopted parents, they live in Chicago. His birth mother and birth father, they live in Romania. Right now, Riley is spending some time at a place called Agape Boarding School. You've heard us talking about Agape Boarding School. This is one of those quiet ministries. Quiet because no matter how much noise they'd make, nobody could hear because they're in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. This is a place. It is a ministry. It is not a business. It is a ministry where grown men dedicate their lives to helping young men become godly young men. God fearing, law-abiding citizens. It is an unbelievable ministry. Who are the boys like Riley that attend that school? They're troubled boys. These are boys who are getting in trouble with the law. Mom and dad are frazzled. They are not doing well at school. They might be sent there sometimes. A judge is involved. These are kids that are wreaking havoc. And I fear that we're seeing an increasing number of these boys in our culture because of the family structure. It is breaking. It is disintegrating faster than ever. Once again, I'm sorry. This is a bit of a rant. I grant you. We were out to dinner the other night and I couldn't help. There was a couple sitting in the booth behind us and they had three or four kids. I can't remember. I was grateful because the kids just didn't kick the back of the booth. I love that when the kids do that. Bang, 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 bang. And you throw the look and it doesn't work. Then you really throw the look. Well, these kids weren't doing that. Instead, this is what they were singing. Mommy, 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 mommy.
I've heard that song.
And, well, these kids were 8, 10, 12 years old. Snuggled up against mom. We didn't hear a word they were singing. Why? She was on her cell phone. Oh, I can almost guarantee you that mommy is going to be sorry she didn't listen, put down her phone, and pay attention. Because when those kids get a wee little bit older, they are not going to be they're not going to be persistent. They're going to run out of gas, and they're going to go find affection from somebody or something else. Promise. And I think we're bound for more of that. We are living in a culture where these kids are getting wounded, they're getting traumatized, scars just from sin, the fall, whether it's divorce, whether it's abandonment, whether it's adoption issues from foreign countries that are very, very poor. I think we're going to be seeing more and more of this in our culture. And the reason for it is very biblical. When you color outside of God's lines, when things are done contrary to God's will for families, there is a price to be paid. Things go kafritz. God set up the family unit as the fabric, the thing that holds our society together, whether it is a Christian society or not. It helps stabilize an entire culture. And without that, look out. Agape Boarding School takes those boys. Staggering. Where it didn't work at a military boarding school or these kids were getting in trouble and then nobody could talk sense to them, they just say, bring them. Hey, well, we got them. We'll take them. Amazing, amazing place. And so these kids, by the way, when these kids attend this school, they work very, very carefully with their medical professional regarding their psychotropic drugs and their prescription medication. Do you know why they work with them? Because they wean them off of them as fast as they possibly can. What? That's right. So Agape Boarding School takes kids that are troubled, takes them off of their medication. How contrary to secularism is that? Because a lot of these kids, they are on that type of medication. And Agape Boarding School says, no thanks. We're going to let the power of the Holy Spirit and godly influences and godly mentoring and discipling, we're going to let that do the work. Because we have more trust in God's word than in pills. Wow. Furthermore, they want to see who the real boy is. They don't want a dulled boy. They want to, we want the whole package. We don't want to be protected because of medication. Give it to us. And that's what they do. So then they will work with that kid's doc to get them off their prescriptions so that they can now be dealing with the real boy. And I would like to introduce you to one of those boys. His name is Riley. Riley comes from Chicago via Romania. He was born in Romania, put into an orphanage. You'll hear that story. And he was adopted by two loving parents. I suspect Christian parents, although I didn't ask. But that's the likelihood, because it's mostly Christians who adopt. Unless, of course, you're a celebrity with nannies. It's Christians who adopt and take care of these kids. And this boy now is at Agape Boarding School because, well, he was causing trouble at home. And you're going to hear a story of a boy, plenty sharp, handsome young man, plenty very classic Romanian look. And he's clearly not dumb. You are going to hear something, a subject that we talk about a fair amount here at Wretched Radio, and that is the issue of reactive attachment disorder. What happens to a child that is broken, the bond with mom is broken. They get put into an orphanage. Who knows what happens there in this instance? Like in most cases, it was not good. He was adopted with his brother into a loving family. And yet, still didn't feel right. And what you're going to hear is very instructive. And this will be, now you don't have adopted kids, and you think, well, this doesn't apply to me. You know somebody in church who does. And this is what they're dealing with. They love on these kids. They just do everything for these kids, and they're still furious on the inside. And listen to Riley's explanation as to why. You're going to hear it. I don't know. Why'd you feel lonely inside? You had a family. I don't know. Why were you so furious? I don't know. And I believe him. He doesn't know. This is the story of the life of Riley. This young man at Agape Boarding School, you will hear. This is classic, classic reactive attachment disorder issues, symptoms. What happens when a child is taken away from birth mom and birth dad?
I was adopted when I was 18 months, close to 2 years old. My mom had left me in the hospital, and I moved to an orphanage. And from there, I was adopted and came to America and moved to Chicago with my parents, my adopted parents. And from there, just a bunch of stuff was going on, and I guess now I'm here in Stockton, Missouri.
Yeah, that was kind of the edited version. It's that stuff in the middle I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. Okay? A family adopted you. Mm-hmm. Seemed like nice folks.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah, good folks. You're a sharp young man.
Yes, sir.
How come you're here? What happened?
Just a lot of anger issues, violent outbursts, fights. I landed myself in juvie a few times, things like that.
Yeah. What were you angry about?
I was angry because I had a feeling of depression inside. I had a feeling of loneliness, rejection inside, things like that. Just a bunch of different feelings inside that I just kept to myself. I'm a very introverted person. I've kind of learned to be extroverted, but I was very introverted, and I kept all these things inside, and eventually one day just all blew up.
Kind of blew up. What age did that happen?
It happened at age 11 or 12, kind
really?
Of in between, yes, sir.
Okay, so pretty young, really.
Yes, sir.
Okay, as much as you're willing to share, all right? Your parents, they loved you, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still felt lonely inside.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would understand why you might have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help them understand that?
Just the whole story of the whole adoption thing. I grew up never knowing my birth mom. I never heard anything about her. I never asked any questions about her. What I did know from my brother is that me and him had different dads, so we weren't complete, actual 100% brothers. We were born from different dads. And,
so you were adopted with your brother?
Yes, sir, my biological brother. And we had different dads, and so I never knew anything about my birth mom. Growing up, never knew anything about my birth mom, never asked anything about her.
Did you want to know?
Yes, inside I really wanted to know the whole time.
I'm just curious, why didn't you just say, hey, mom, dad, what do you know?
I felt like they would maybe take it the wrong way. Like, I felt like they would maybe think that they weren't good enough, and I was asking why they adopted me, or why I came from where I came from, or why I'm not with her. And I felt like they might think that, why is he asking me this? Would he rather be back in Romania? Would he rather be back with his biological mom? Or maybe am I not doing a good enough job as a parent to this kid?
Right.
Yeah, just to feel of them not feeling good enough.
All right. So you kept it to yourself, but the whole time you wanted to know something about your birth mother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you want to know about your birth father?
No, just the whole thing with when I heard that me and my biological brother had different birth dads, and I kind of heard a little bit about what happened with my birth dad and how he pretty much used my mom. And he left when he found out that she was pregnant with me, and I just had no respect for him, and I just didn't want anything to do with him. I didn't want.
By the way, whether or not he had respect for his birth dad, very common. They want to know about birth mom. Mom, that should encourage you. There's something special there. You were mommy for 9 months in a very intimate kind of way, and that bond is monstrously big, and you hear it right there, don't you? And that is why typically when a child is taken away from mom, whether it is a radical break like in an orphanage through adoption, that's a major trauma. And that is this young man now, who's I think 18 years old, still feels it. The bond between child and mother exists when they are born. It is in utero. And when that gets broken, and for whatever reason or whatever the scenario is, there is a wound. And this kid is still suffering from that wound.
To know anything about him.
Right. So when you were born, you were born in a hospital, which was good.
Right.
Because that doesn't always happen there.
Right.
So that was a great thing your mom did.
Yes.
And then you went to an orphanage with your brother.
My brother was actually in an orphanage first. She had put him straight there. And then she had me, and I guess something happened, and she just left me in the hospital. And I was actually in the hospital for 5 or 6 months, and the nurses there were actually taking care of me. They were taking turns with me. And eventually they put me in the orphanage with my biological brother.
Yeah, so you were adopted about the age 2, so you probably don't have many memories.
Yes,
of the orphanage.
No memories.
Which is probably a good thing.
Probably.
Yeah, does your brother remember stuff?
He does remember things. I'll ask him here and there, like, hey, what does mom look like? Or, hey, what was it like to be through that? Because even though we were both through it together, I don't know what it's like to feel it because I don't remember. I was so young. And like I said earlier, he's very introverted, and he just doesn't like sharing those kind of things with me. I feel like deep down inside, he's maybe more insecure than me, and maybe more feels a little bit more rejected than I do. So.
Yeah, a little bit older, and maybe it wasn't the best place to be,
right?
Most likely.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In fact, it's not uncommon to hear reports from those orphanages that the children, depending on the children, by the way, Roma children specifically from Romania, they are the gypsy children. The staff frequently treated them like ashtrays. Literally, like ashtrays. That's the treatment that they would receive in that orphanage.
So you get adopted, you get brought over.
Yes, sir.
But you still just, you'd like to know, you're getting a little frustrated, a little angry.
Right.
And then it kind of came out to the point where the police stepped in.
Yes, sir.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to juvenile detention.
Yes, sir.
That's not Disney World.
No, sir.
Okay, so why didn't you just stop it right there at juvie? Like, juvie, bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't quite get your attention. How come?
This is fascinating to me. Kid goes off to juvie. Not fun. Why didn't he get with, okay, bad, I've been making bad decisions, as they like to say in the government schools, been making bad decisions. I'm going to get with the program now and start obeying mom and dad. Why didn't you just knock it off?
I don't think he really got my attention just because the people there, I didn't feel like I belonged there, but I felt like I could relate. And something was a big thing with me growing up was, can anybody relate to me? I felt like so alone and so just, yeah, lonely.
Yeah. So you actually maybe found in juvie some people that you could relate to.
Yes.
All right. So that's why it didn't have the effect that it was supposed to keep you from being a bad boy.
Right, right.
All right. So you kept up being naughty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ended up here.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Uh-huh. Does that make sense to you? Here's a kid. If I recall, his adopted parents, I want to say Winnetka. And if you're familiar with Chicago, that's a old Latin word that means ka-ching. So he was adopted into a family that was probably pretty swank. Everything he needs. He's a sharp kid. He looks like he could have been athletic, lonely, angry. You know where I seem to fit in is juvie. Why? Because those were all kids that were kind of busted and broken too. And he felt kind of at home there. And so juvie did not have the sting that it's intended to have. Uh-oh. Is that why our prisons are becoming increasingly populated? Because it doesn't feel like punishment. It actually feels like home to these kids who are broken on the inside. We'll continue The Life of Riley from Agape Boarding School, mytroubledboy.com, next on Wretched Radio. Hey, now that you've got some extra free time because you no longer patronize that satanic Starbucks coffee shop, we hope you'll visit the Wretched Store for Christmas. Gifts for your family, friends, neighbors, whether saved or not. Maybe something for you to help you go a little bit deeper, or for Sunday school. Whatever it happens to be, please remember your purchases for Christmas help keep us on the air for the new year. So thank you for that, and please visit the Wretched Store at wretchedradio.com.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. Praying according to God's will is a key element in a Christian's life, and it demonstrates Christ-likeness. As Jesus faced the horror of the cross, you remember Jesus never wavered in his commitment to do the Father's will. He prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Jesus taught his disciples the same priority when he instructed them to pray, saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you pray according to God's will, which is the only faithful way to pray, you can be confident that he hears you and that he will grant your requests. What a great promise. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
Why did Hitler believe it was right to exterminate those he believed were inferior? Why does America still practice eugenics? Could it be a natural extension of social Darwinism? Doctors David Berlinski, John West, and Richard Weikart ask and answer the question, "What hath Darwin wrought?" It's a tough answer, but it's an answer every Christian should hear. What hath Darwin wrought? At wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio.
This is Vody Balcom.
Many of us look at our children, and our overriding priority is that we're not embarrassed by them. If we have obedient, robotic children who do not embarrass us, we are more than satisfied. Then as they grow up, if we have obedient, robotic children who stay close to us so that we get to see them and our grandkids when we want to, that's more than enough for us. They do not exist for you to have warm fuzzies with your grandchildren. They exist to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our overarching priority is that they learn to serve and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pay attention to me. Obey me. Because you make me look good when you do that. No, because I got some stuff to teach you about the only one in this world who has the answer to your sin problem and the only one who is worthy of your worship. That's why it matters to me.
How do we as Christians confront our culture with a message that is offensive without being personally offensive? Prepare to go face-to-face with our lost and confused culture. Join Todd as he dares to proclaim the gospel at Georgia Tech, the University of Georgia, and the Minnesota State Fair. Speaking the truth in love is a delicate balance, so get your copy of Face-to-Face at wretchedradio.com today. Remember, your purchase helps us proclaim amazing grace. Thank you.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for sending stuff to idea@wretchedradio.com. Sermons, we'll take them. Stories, love it. Even the stinkers. You see something, you think it's wretched, send it. In fact, as long as I brought up the idea at wretchedradio.com, let me read this email from Barb. This is just a blessing. Heard about your new marriage program yesterday. If you didn't know this, we're working on a new TV series for next year that we believe will be played on about 60 Christian networks and TV stations. How's that for amazing? God's been very, very kind to us, and the idea is to take theology and apply it to marriage. Because it's my discovery that most people just don't understand that theology can indeed invade your home in such a great way and fix things, heal things, make things better, turn you more into the image of Jesus, all of you. And when you've got a lot of people acting like Jesus, you've got a lot less fighting. You got a lot less nitpicking. You got a lot less hurt. You just got a lot less sin going on. Makes sense, doesn't it, that the gospel applied to marriage would keep sin down and would raise joy up. And so we're going to be doing a new TV show about that. And so this is what Barb heard you're doing the new show and would like to offer to caption it. Do you know that our TV show, Wretched TV, which is 5 days a week, it needs to be closed captioned? Do you know what it costs to do that? Answer, a lot. It's a lot every day. And here's what typically happens in the process. You send your TV show to a closed captioning company, and then they put it in the queue, and depending on how much you pay them, the more you pay them, the faster you get it back. Somebody who doesn't care just click, 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 and so you get it back, and you've got me saying something like, and that's why the cats in the barn are destroying the watermelons. That's not at all what I said, but that's what they type. They don't care. Out it goes. And then you pay a pretty penny for that. And I mean, over the course of a year, we do about 200 and some shows every year here at Wretched. It's tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even six figures. Do you know how much we spend for closed captioning? Zero. Why? Because of people like Barb. They do it for us. Staggering. It's just staggering. And by the way, if we've been asking you, or at least encouraging you as of late, that we're asking for help for next year so that we can do more. We see a great need for the strengthening of local churches, not to take their place, but to encourage the shepherds and to feed the sheep, to encourage them to get to good churches or to encourage their church to get good. That's what we're about here. And we've been asking you to help us do that for next year because we believe it's eternal consequences, it's temporal consequences. When the church is weak, you basically get America today. Yeah, basically get. So we want to be able to do more Christian TV to help to strengthen the local church. We want to be able to do more products and reach more people. And we've been encouraging you to help us do that. And the amount that we're asking for, it's a lot, but it's like nowhere near what it is if we were secular folks doing this type of thing. Because, for instance, we'd be paying, let's call it six figures for closed captioning. But we don't. Because of these great volunteers, and there are a lot of them. We're only a staff of 12, which is puny for what we do, and a ton of volunteers like Barb. And so that is why the amount, while it is, it's not peanuts, it's not millions and millions of dollars like, well, a lot of other ministries that you see on TV, and secular folks. And by the way, if you'd like to help us with that, we'd be very, very grateful, especially at the end of the year. You can go to wretchedradio.com, and you can see the little thing, whatever banner that we've got there to help us so that next year we can reach more people, basically. And one of the ways that we can do that efficiently, read cheap, is because of people like Barb. So thanks, Barb, and to all of the other volunteers who help us. Now, here's what she said, too. Was immeasurably enriched by being able to caption Life is Best. Look at this. And would consider it an honor to give y'all a hand. Honestly. Don't you love being a Christian? Love being a Christian. And if you haven't received a copy of Life is Best, by the way, get that while you're at it. If you're visiting the site, check it out and get that. In fact, if that's all you can do, get that. Because it is super fine in defending the life issue. All of that with our thanks at wretchedradio.com. Would like you now to hear the continuing story from Riley at Agape Boarding School, a young man I sat down and spoke to. I have to tell you, I am just a little bit annoyed with Agape Boarding School. I am just still a little seed of bitterness.
Why come? How far?
I love those guys, but just a little. Well, when I was there, this is what you're hearing is quite recent, by the way. I was there, I think, a few weeks ago. At any rate, the day they wanted to show me the campus, and they wanted me to meet a bunch of people, and I got to meet these amazing guys that are there and their families and see the. But I wanted to get to the kids, and believe me, I had a great time meeting the staff and everybody running it. But when I was done talking to guys like Riley and Thomas, you'll hear him, and Alex, I just talking to these kids, hearing their stories to me, I wish I could have talked to 100 kids is what I'm trying to say. I wish I could have talked to every one of the kids that was there. Their stories fascinate me, and there's so much we can learn in the church. There's so much we can learn about the gospel and helping these kids. These are troubled boys. They're getting into hot water, and we can learn how to be Christian parents, and we can learn whether you've got a kid who's acting like this at this level or not. It doesn't matter. It's so instructive. And talking to Riley was so helpful. The adoption issue is so under-discussed in the Christian community. These kids have gone through trauma. And they regularly find themselves just struggling with emotions. And that's exactly what you're hearing with Riley, are you not? A lovely home. He gets adopted into a perfectly lovely home with a mom and a dad in the suburbs of Chicago. Doesn't get much better than that. I mean, and mom and dad, you don't adopt kids to be terrible parents. You adopt kids because you want to love on them and help them and show the gospel to the world. But for this young man, as it is the case with so many, 40% of the kids at Agape Boarding School are adopted. 40%. And only 2.5% of kids in this country are adopted. But 40% are at Agape. Why? Because they're struggling. Their emotions are just, they've just been wounded. They've just been wounded. So this nice young man sat down and talked to me and tried to explain the feelings that he was having on the inside. And what you just heard, two major emotions. Anger? And loneliness. Why? Well, I just did. And then he found himself getting into hot water, going into juvie, and actually kind of digging it. And he's not the only one like this. You can talk to these other adopted kids, same thing. You know, I kind of like juvie. Why? I felt like I was with my peeps. What? You got adopted into a lovely home in the suburbs of Chicago. What more does a boy want? I don't know. I just liked it better in juvie. Boing. And that's only the beginning of the story of the life of Riley. Brace yourself, because now Riley's life goes from traumatic to confusing to just downright devastating.
How have you been doing since you've been here?
When I first got here, it was really tough. I was really bitter. I was really angry with my parents. I wasn't spiritual at all. I kind of had pushed God aside and kind of questioned God, if you're real, why would this happen to me? Why would you allow all these things to happen to me? Why would you allow me to have the thoughts I've been having? Why would you allow the things I've been through? Why would you allow all this to happen? And I was just very bitter with everything. And I eventually started moving up in the program. I got promoted to yellow from orange. And from there, I got promoted to gray. And just talking with the counselors and the staff here really kind of set me kind of in the right direction, I would say. just the love they have for you here, and the compassion, and they're overworked and underpaid, and just the fact that they still spend all this time of their day just to help you. They have a burden for kids like me and other kids here, and I really feel like it's helped me to stay motivated, because that's also been a problem as motivation. And I ended up, we have Bible reading every morning here, and I ended up reading the Bible a little bit here and there, and then I would eventually get more into it, and I would keep reading past the 30 minutes that are required, and I would just keep going, and I would learn things from it, and I would try to pick out one verse a day that really stood out to me, and I would try to apply that to my day. And then from there, I found out that they had a counselor here, and I went and saw him a few times, and he gave me these papers which had a bunch of like outline things, like it had a subject, and then it had a bunch of questions and the answers to them with biblical scripture added to it, and I really didn't pay attention to those that much. Then I actually started reading those, and I started coming back to him more and more, and I actually found out he relates to me in a lot of ways, and we just have kept talking since. So.
Cool. Cool. You'd rather be home.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's natural.
Mm.
But do you like it here?
I do like it here. I think it's really good. It's helped me grow in very spiritually and mentally. When my parents came for my four-month visit, I was sharing with them a bunch of scripture that I thought was good and that stood out to me. And just the way I was talking to them and just my maturity, it really stood out to them, and they were in awe. They said to me, I can't believe it's been only 4 months and you've come this far. And that really has motivated me since then to just keep going. And every day I think, I'm doing this for my parents, I'm doing this for myself, and I'm doing this for God also.
Sweet. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta tell you, wow. Talk to most kids going to peanut butter armpit youth group. They're not talking like Riley.
All right. Are you willing to share how your brother's been doing?
Yes, sir. My brother was in an accident in October of last year. And what happened was he was off of some bad drugs, and he dove off the second story of my house through the window and landed on the ground. And he broke his neck, and he was unconscious for a while. And I watched the whole thing happen. I called the police. I waited for people to arrive and stuff and all that.
The life of Riley. So here's what you got. You got a young man who's traumatized on the inside, can't figure stuff out. Emotions are confused, getting into trouble, running with the wrong crowd, finding himself in juvie, probably doing the juvie dance. And then he's at home, and one day his brother's having a bad trip and decides, I know, I'm going to run by you, jump out the window, and he lands on his neck and is paralyzed from the waist down. And Riley looks out the window and sees his brother on the ground. Oh, wait, there's more to the story. You see, the reason that his brother was able to run by him and jump out the window while he was on his bad trip is because Riley was a little bit distracted at the moment. You see, Riley was on the telephone with his dad, asking his dad for help and how to deal with his brother who was on a bad trip. And he was a little distracted because his dad was actually calling Riley from the hospital where he was getting chemotherapy. The life of Riley. What happened to Riley after brother jumps out the window? Oh, and did I tell you he discovered that his birth mother had just died? Next on Wretched Radio. If you are involved in Sunday school, or you have homeschoolers, or you're just a Christian, would you please think about getting Life is Best, our brand new, thanks to you, 13-episode pro-life TV show to teach the saints how to defend life. It is gospel-saturated and profoundly helpful in a culture of death. Please consider getting a copy of Life is Best at wretchedradio.com.
astonishing brightness. This is Ken Ham, President and CEO of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. Many people are familiar with fireflies. They're also called lightning bugs. Now, they blink on and off in many of our backyards on summer evenings. This ability is called bioluminescence. But did you know that many other creatures also glow? Certain species of bony fish, plankton, jellyfish, squid, and even mushrooms glow. Bioluminescence is so widespread and such an incredible diversity of creatures that evolutionists believe it had to evolve over 50 separate times. But emitting light is a complicated process. It involves many different features all working together at the same time for it to be effective. There's no way it could evolve once, never mind 50 times.
Discover more about the incredible design and nature that challenges evolutionary ideas when you visit our website at answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org.
It never seems to stop people attacking the New Testament. They say the Bible's based on myths, or it's got tons of errors, contradictions. It's not the same as the New Testament that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, Dr. James White will answer all of those accusations and more in New Testament Reliability. This DVD makes it clear you can trust your Bible. Get your copy of New Testament Reliability today at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
This is not an academic pursuit merely. This is to understand our Maker.
Yes.
And we're doing this through a study called systematic theology, which would be our first of many big words. What exactly is systematic theology?
Systematic theology is a framework by which we take the various truths that are taught in Scripture and piece them together, almost like putting flesh on a skeleton where you have a unified body of truth. It's like taking the different pearls of Scripture but putting them on a strand and making a beautiful necklace where they come together and you see what the entire Bible has to say about a particular topic or truth.
Now, that was two metaphors in one answer. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
Hence, Dr. Metaphor.
You can get Drive-By Theology and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com.
Sharing your faith with others is scary. We get that. That's why there's Terrified 2. Over 20 actual witness encounters with real people. Terrified 2 gives you the confidence you need as you watch Todd, who's not the sharpest bulb in the picnic basket, interact and respond to unbelievers' accusations and questions. No more excuses. Get equipped to share your faith. Get Terrified 2 at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible, and while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, the hits just keep on coming. This is Wretched Radio, listening to the life of Riley, a young man who was at Agape Boarding School. Had a chance to sit down and talk to him, and his story is absolutely jaw-dropping. You'll recall, adopted at the age of 2 from a Bucharest Romanian orphanage with his half-brother by a lovely couple in Chicago, until Riley, unable to figure out the emotions and the feelings that he had inside, anger, frustration, loneliness, starts running with the wrong crowd, but kind of under control, but getting into some trouble. And then one day when he's at home, his brother, adopted with him, found himself coming down from a bad drug trip. Riley calls up his dad to get some help and advice on how to deal with his brother, who's freaking out in his bed. Riley, distracted while talking to his dad, who was in a Chicago hospital because he was receiving chemotherapy for his cancer treatments. His brother bolts from the bed, jumps out the window from the second story, lands on the ground on his neck, and is paralyzed. And if that were not enough for the life of Riley, it was at about this time he discovered that his birth mother from Romania had died. And now he's at Agape Boarding School. We pick up the story of the life of Riley.
He was off of some bad drugs, and he dove off the second story of my house through the window and landed on the ground. And he broke his neck, and he was unconscious for a while, and I watched the whole thing happen. I called the police. I waited for people to arrive and stuff and all that. And they asked me, do you want to go to the hospital with your brother? And I, for some reason, said no. My parents were actually in Chicago at the time because my dad goes for cancer treatment every 2 weeks because he has cancer. And so they were in Chicago. Me and my brother were alone in the house, and I was alone in the house. He was out with friends. He came home not in the right mind, and I tried to calm him down. I had left him in my bedroom. I told him to go to sleep, and I left the bedroom and went and talked to my dad on the phone, let him know what was going on. He told me that I should call the police and let them know what's going on so they can come and try to help him out because I wasn't doing a good enough job. And as I was on the phone, I just remember him running by me, and I tried to grab him because there was a window right behind me. And I tried to grab him, but I wasn't fast enough, and the next thing I heard was just a shatter, and he dove through the window, landed on the ground, and I was on the phone with my dad, and I just remember screaming, "Dad, Dad, Aiden's dead. I think he killed himself." And so I hung up immediately and went downstairs through the back door and where he was. And it was pretty bad. There was glass on his face, all cut up. His neck was pretty bad. He broke his neck. He was paralyzed from then on. The right side of his body's paralyzed. He can't walk properly. He can't move his right arm or hand. He has trouble writing with it. And the doctors told him he would never walk again and that he would be a paraplegic the rest of his life. And it was bad for me. It really was. That was the last thing, in my mind, it was the last thing I had of my biological family, because my birth mom, I had found out about a year and a half prior to this that she had passed away. And from then on, I really cherished my brother. And when this happened, I really thought he was gone. I thought I would never have him again. And I didn't see him for about 6 months. He was bouncing in and out of different recreational centers to help walk, in hospitals to keep him stable. And I remember seeing him the first time, and he walked up to me, and I just remember thinking, how does he walk? How can he walk? And my dad said that he agreed with me. Like, he was asking himself the same question, how is he walking? And he mentioned that the doctor was in awe, because it was the same doctor that told him he was never going to walk again, and it's the same doctor saw him walk. And so he's 19 now. I've just been praying for him to kind of get in the right mindset, because I remember when he came home, he had asked me to start going to church with him, because he tried to get into the whole religion thing. And I really wasn't into it that much when I was back at home. And I remember him asking every Wednesday, "Will you go to youth group with me? Will you go to youth group with me?" And I'm like, I would always say, "No, sorry, I don't have time." And he would go by himself. So I honestly feel it's part of my fault that he's not very religious right now, but I do feel blessed because I come here and I get the chance to read the Bible every morning and to sit and listen in chapel every day, and church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and church also on Wednesday.
Do you think that it's your fault that you weren't doing, you said, a good job of taking care of him, and that he ran by and you couldn't grab him, that it's your fault?
I do feel like it is my fault, yes, because just the whole, I feel like I should have handled it better. I handled it with anger, and I handled it with trying to force him to calm down. I didn't really use words. I just forced him, and I feel like that might have added to his bad high. And I feel like that might be part of the reason why he did what he did. Also, I feel like I wasn't maybe a loving enough brother. I never really told him I loved him that much, and when I did, he never said it back, and so I kind of stopped from there. And so from then on, I would always say, like, "Bro, I love you. Like, I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad I still have you." So I do feel like it's my fault, yes, because I feel like I should have handled it a little better way than I did. I feel like I was very selfish with the way I handled it, very angry. I feel like I was taking maybe a little bit of anger I had about him being high out on him while he was. And I feel like that is a little bit what led to what happened.
I'm May I ask you a question? Out of all of what you just heard, what would you have grabbed to say? What would you have responded to Riley? This is where good theology needs to be gently, carefully, and lovingly applied. Because clearly you've got a young man who's hurting. You've got yourself a trauma. You've got the effects of evil in the world. It sounds like maybe the scene was a little bit, it wasn't handled as well as it should have. There was some sinning that was going on. Maybe Riley was yelling at his brother, "Knock it off. What'd you do that, you idiot? Stay in your bed. You always cause sinning. And he jumps up from a drug trip, jumps out the window. So you've actually got some valid stuff going on here. You've got sin, so you've got a feeling of guilt there. Mingled with, you've got a tragedy. Mingled with, yeah, if he had grabbed his wrist, the kid would have jumped out the window. Now, something worse could have happened, but he wouldn't have jumped out the window. Wouldn't have been paralyzed. And this kid wouldn't be having nightmares, which he will disclose in a minute. He still does. What would you say in response? What would you say? Biblical counseling is so important. It is so important. I don't care if it's this young man, Riley. There are people who are hurting in your church, in your neighborhood. And the world offers nonsense and Dr. Phil. And we sit here with some answers. Now, I'm not saying these are easy answers. But they're biblical and they're right. And they will heal and they will help. What would you say to Riley? What theology would you bring in? There are many options. Many options. For instance, you could talk about the sovereignty of God. And you could say, Riley, it was God's will that your brother is paralyzed. Because nothing happens without God's sovereign control. And so that this must be for your good, otherwise this would not have happened. Now, I'm not suggesting that we suddenly go, oh, I'm happy about it now. No, because it's still tragic, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and it's sad. Sad. And that emotion is appropriate. But to not explain that God is in control of everything kicks the can down the street as if to say, well, God's maybe going to help. See, helped him learn how to walk again, huh? Doesn't really help, does it? How's about this? There must be a reason for it, Riley, because God was not asleep. God is in control, and this is a part of his sovereign plan. Now, your goal in all of this, Riley, is to learn from it. What do you need to grow from this? What needs to happen from this? Because God wants to do something for you in this. He wants to glorify himself, and he wants you to turn into Jesus Christ more and more by the way you respond to this. And so we need to apply theology. First and second of all, I can't help but think about dealing with the sin. And that's what I jumped on, because dealing with the sovereignty thing that quickly, here's sovereignty doctrine. I don't think would have been very pastoral. So I decided to jump on the, you feel like you've sinned, so therefore you feel like this is your fault. I wanted to, and whether this was the right time or not, I chose to address his feelings of guilt for his brother's situation.
Let's just say, just for fun, I'm not sure I agree with this, but let's just say for fun, that you didn't do a good job. And let's just say that you should have done some things differently.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You claim to be a Christian, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So did Jesus die for those sins too?
Yes, sir, he did.
Okay. All right. Are there any sins that you've committed that he didn't die for?
No, sir.
All right.
I believe he died for all the sins.
All right. So do you have to feel guilty anymore for those sins?
No. Spiritually, no, I don't have to feel guilty for those. But I feel like the fleshly part of me and the mental part of me takes over, and it just rewinds in my head every night, the glass shattering and what I could have done. Why didn't I do this? I did this, but why didn't I do this? And I just re-see it every night in bed. And
kid's hurting still. I would have loved to spend more time with Riley. You know, and I have to confess to you, when you visit this campus in the middle of Nowhereville, USA, Agape Boarding School, it's not like the people who work there, then they go home, they go to the movie theater, they go to the shopping mall. There isn't one. The Dollar General is the big store. Okay, that's where this is. And you wonder, why do these guys move their families? And by the way, the families live on campus. It's 200 acres. And so all the little homes for the staff, 30-some staff, are right on the campus. And you wonder, why would they move their family here to this is why. I get it now. Because you'd love to spend time with this young man every day. And that's what they do. They just spend time with him. A lot of it is very organic. Some of it is structured, as you heard earlier. Some of it does counseling one-on-one, but a lot of it is just chapel, Bible reading, talking, hanging out, modeling, working through, out on the football field, in the rodeo, doing life, and spending time with these kids to help them. Can you imagine how much biblical counseling could help a young man like this that's in your church? Can you imagine how much biblical counseling would help somebody who is this hurting, who is living near your church and has no idea that you could bring theology to a bear and explain all of this? And I'm not saying it's easy, because explaining sovereignty when bad, tragic things happen is not light lifting, and it shouldn't be handled like, there you go, move on. Helping them understand that, Riley, even if you sinned in that moment that led to your brother jumping out a window and getting paralyzed, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And that event happened for a reason. Because you don't want to say that God wanted it, like, oh boy, look at a young man gets paralyzed. But if God didn't have that in his providential plan, it wouldn't have happened. And you can be comforted by that, because God knows what is best. Because he's nicer than we are, and he's better than we are. There's a reason that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, because that's what God is. Can you imagine how much that could help? If you're not familiar with biblical counseling, I encourage you to get it into your church. Go to Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, biblicalcounseling.org, I believe it might be .com. You'll find it. And get biblical counseling going in your church. And if you would be so kind to be praying for Riley and all of the boys at Agape Boarding School, it's one story after another. And pray for wisdom of the staff so that they can lead these people to the Lord, these kids to the Lord, and they can be returned to their families and color within the lines and glorify God. If you need to learn more, mytroubledboy.com. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.